morning, everyone. Welcome to the Anytime Notebook. Still here every single week to mark your goal scorecard for the weekend ahead. Joining me this week, we're going to pick a bit of the bones out of last week and put some selections up. Last week in League One and League Two, as always, John Bywater. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Gav. Like winter, we are still here.
Still here. And we were just talking, this is your time of year. This is end of season form lines. This is 700 appearances. This is last game before his contract runs out. This is your moment to shine, John. People, I'm sure we've got listeners that tune in just for this episode.
Are you sure about that? That's optimistic. Well, yeah, it's good. I mean, it's John Akinde's time of year. It's my time of year.
It's your time of year.
There's plenty of 400 club up this weekend, Gav.
Let's nothing much to reflect on. Well, say nothing much. We'll start off in the Championship, shall we, in a minute. Wiley Harbottle will hit the post though, didn't he, for Colchester last week? Did you see that? I don't know.
Yes.
When you did see that, I only knew because. Someone asked me for one goal scorer bet every Saturday morning, and this time I normally put whoever you've put up, and it was Wiley Harbottle, and they said, "Oh, he hit the post." I'm looking.
I was trying to work out if we've overall this season. I don't know if we've had luck on our side or not. I think we have a few times, and a few times we haven't. Like always, but I don't know. Maybe it's been neutral overall. I don't know, but I think we've had some really good picks.
Yeah, there was another one. Some of them appear a week or two later. Feely with the... It was the three headers from 4 yards out, wasn't it, against Doncaster?
Yes, even he couldn't miss that old Rory. And
even
Tom Anderson scored about 6 weeks late.
Even Tom Anderson. John, you sent your notes in. I was inspired and amazed at the extent of your notes. I was determined to follow you in, but my selections are a little bit on the cheap side this week. So this is the John Bywater show, this one. Where should we start off? I didn't even bother looking at the Championship.
You hate the Championship. You're against it. You're anti-Championship.
My season was over at 7 o'clock on Sunday. And I was done. I was done with football. Pretty much walking out of Wembley on Sunday. I thought that would have been a nice way to end the season, but no.
Should we have a VAR debate? Been touched on anyway.
I don't think anyone's mentioned it, are they? But yeah, still some games left in the Championship, which Hull at home was one game too many. That was a real test of my loyalty, that was. After the excitement of Sunday, do I want to sit through 90 minutes of mistake-ridden, almost on the beach, tight football from Colf? But it turns out we've still got more. Blackburn, as we were talking about earlier, looks like a good opportunity for the home side this weekend. Anyway, enough stumbling through. You have got some fantastic sort of analysis in the Championship, John. Do you want to lead us off with... should we go? Should we talk Wotherham first?
You're really talking this up, Gav. Yes, we'll go... I've had about the last 3 weeks, I've been phoning it in, to be fair. Right, Rotherham. I'll tell you what, your man Odafin, who you've been on for a long time, I don't know if listeners noticed or you noticed, he actually played at the head of the midfield diamond in Evans's first game. Big advancement forward. Read a couple of local reports that suggested he didn't look that comfortable there, but still, there's 12-1 standout. That would probably be playable, but I don't really like the general price. Also, he has signed a new contract this week, and good old Steve Evans is raving about him already. He probably forgot his name come August, but he likes him at the moment when he signed 25 players. Sticking with old Rotherham, I thought it was another good performance by another one of your men, Seb Reven, the youngster. Another effort. Talk about price discrepancy, as short as fives and as big as 20s this weekend. Not quite sure what's going on there. It's just like pick a price. But, yeah, I couldn't quite pull the trigger on either, but I thought there was Odafin in particular, if he plays in that advanced role again, then, you know, 12s is obviously wrong.
That was a laughing at the 8-13 Blues away from home. That was a success story for
us. Yeah, spot on there.
The clues are there with the 1
X2. The X2, we're all over the X2.
It's a we'll save new that podcast. For the Telegram.
That's right, yeah. Exclusive access only. Well, talking of Kov, Blackburn versus Kov, personal interest in this is I managed to snaffle some of the early 7-4, which listeners will be delighted to hear about, a prize that hasn't existed for 2 days. I even managed to double it with this Serie A B bent draw in League Two, which is even better. more of that later, Gav. What about this game, though, from a goal score perspective? Being serious here, sad news about Scott Wharton, a player I like, who's going to be out for most of next season already. Got ACL, and he's got an ACL and another injury to his leg. It's like a double injury or something, which is not good news for him. Promising young centre-back. But what about the ex-club system, Gav? One for Lee Hackett.
Well, there's a couple.
I was looking at good old Carl McFadden at 14s against your possible reserves. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I don't know whether he started or I think he's.
No, he's not.
Who is it? Eustace over there now. When they're playing three at the
back. Scott Wharton's out, Gav. Scott Wharton's out.
Yeah, there we go. So, even more so, there's a good. I think McFadden's interesting. Yeah, the narrative is that he left really late in the transfer window and we didn't get to say goodbye to him. And there's stories of him doing kind of, you know, bringing him into a lap of honours and stuff. And Saturday will be the chance for 4,500 people.
Can't they just let him score a goal instead?
Finally, well, they could. That would be nice. Yeah, the odd goal in 5 or 6. You got Dom Hyam as well.
Course, yeah.
People have been, again, we sold him kind of late notice to pay for our new pitch last year when we couldn't get a game at the CBS, so we needed...
You'll be emotional watching that.
A couple of stalwarts for us, yeah.
No, I think...
But yeah, we're not putting out much of a side. We didn't put out much of a side on Wednesday.
No, you've got to be... Blackburn aren't very good, but obviously they've got something to play for, and so far Eustace has just about managed to dig out a result when... needed, I think. So, yeah, I think that's...
Eustace X.
What's going on here?
And if we let them win, does some big harm to Blues.
Yeah. We've got all sorts going on here. I like this. It's getting better.
The system.
Actually, oh, no, I'm not going to put him up. I thought about it. I've got a selection. I'm pretty sure I put this guy on the Never Again list last season. I don't think he's had a mention since, which is good, so I've stuck to that, but he's back. You know the answer to this as you've read the notes, but which Championship centre-back has had efforts in his last 5 games? The answer is Matthew Clark at Middlesbrough. Amazing for me that he's already 27 years old, Gav. Wasn't he perennially about 23 in my head? But
he's this young. I thought he's been around for...
Yeah, I thought the other way, but it's because he was on loan from Brighton for years, wasn't he, at loads of different sides.
Yeah.
You've got to admit, his 2 fairly productive seasons at Portsmouth seem a very, very long time ago, and that's probably because they were. Does have 3 assists this season, which suggests he is getting involved in the right areas. As I say, he's had an effort in each of his last 5 games, and the price looks suitable for a game away at Cardiff. As an aside, when did Cardiff get up to 11th place? I seem to have missed the month or something. Yeah.
I know. I was listening to some next season anti-post Cardiff thoughts this year, and I thought, hang on.
That's a bit recency bias there.
Division. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah,
We don't like that on this pod. No, we do. Yeah. I have a theory here, Gav. He used to score goals when he was Matt Clark. Now he is Matthew Clark. If he doesn't notch here, may I suggest a name change back to Matt Clark in the postseason? That's just an idea for him. Anyway, yeah, it's a...
sorts.
Yeah, I think last season he was Matt or Matthew, but he's definitely Matthew now, so it's 1 point Matthew Clark, 22-1, Middlesbrough, Cardiff, and I've never, ever had a winning selection from a Middlesbrough defender, so that should reassure everybody.
Oh, John, I enjoyed that. That's worked great. I know how you feel now when I go off on my little talks and rants, and it was a pleasure. I was like a listener there, just a pleasure listening to some championship analysis coming out of your mouth, which was fantastic to hear. Let's go into League One. I've just put at the top of my notes, horrible time of year, epitomised by Peterborough opening up almost three quarters of a goal favourites against Cheltenham and closing as underdogs once the team news came out, which I thought was, and then being rightly being put to the sword by Cheltenham midweek, which was just showed you everything you need to know about this time of year, really, which is can't depend on team news, can't depend on form, a lot of ulterior motives. I thought a good result, obviously a good result for Cheltenham. That game at Stevenage doesn't look a bad way to end the season when you're fighting for survival either, because I thought Stevenage were pretty terrible value for that point at Oxford on the telly.
Very poor.
What was that, Monday? Very poor. I've got a selection here of all the players. I said I'd want to be
it's not
this weekend.
It's not.
Midweek was the time as well. Did Freestone have a chance midweek?
I think you might have had one chance early, but
what about it's a short one for the pod, but Liam Sercombe, I thought 6-1 was a fair old price. I had to scroll down a little bit further. If you can trust Oddschecker these days, which seems to have you've been on Oddschecker recently. Yeah. I think Cheltenham still might have a chance of getting into the playoffs.
The league table. It's really, really helpful. It's about four games old. Yeah. Well done, lads. Keep charging for people to read old prices. That seems a great business model.
Absolutely. it's still available.
That's right. Yeah, sure. They'll be rushing in after that. You can get old prices on this podcast. I don't need to go to Oddschecker. Come on.
Absolutely. I thought 6-1 was a standout in the market. 11-44 on pens. Absolutely rampant against Peterborough. I can see him just leading the charge from what centre midfield, and just plenty of shots, plenty of productivity. There's kind of short prices everywhere you look, and I thought 6-1 seems a bit too big for me, and I'm desperate for a winner. So Liam Sercombe, a point, 6-1 for me. John, over to you. We've both got thoughts on Wickham Charlton, but you
despise Wickham. That's what the Wickham fans have been messaging me privately. Yes, you said they've put an effigy of you up at Adams Park. Interesting game in that there's nothing on it, so sort of game I spend too long looking at. Joe Jacobson will make his 400th and final appearance for Wickham here, which is always something worth looking at. A true legend, I would suggest. Mm-hmm. Wonder of a left foot, 44 goals, many free kicks, even a couple direct from corners, and many penalties back in the day. Now, he's only had 5 appearances this season, but it's, from what I've read, it looks like he's going to start here. And if he does, then I'm pretty sure, as sure as you can be, that good old Luke Leahy will say, go on, Joe, you have the penalties like it's 2017. It's not like he's never taken them, so I'd be pretty confident about that. He's already been popular in the markets, actually. I'm not going to put him up because I've got, there's a chance he doesn't start. If he did start, then the 16-1 first goal score only would be just about okay for me. I can't see him playing the full minutes because he barely has all season. So I definitely wouldn't play any other way. So if he started, then Joe Jacobson is interesting. But you've got a becoming a familiar name in that game.
Scrolling through the coupon, I thought Wickham Charlton looked like, can I finally get Wickham beat at some point in this last throes of the season. I thought interest on the other left-hand side, yeah, Thierry Small continues to be pretty productive for Charlton. Just the one game, John, in the last 10, where he hasn't had some sort of effort at goal, varying degrees of success. But again, they just market just doesn't know what to make of him. Bet365 still don't like him. 14-1 is out of sync with most of the others. I haven't got the prices in front of me, but I think some of them were, yeah, well into single figures and shorter. Charlton still haven't lost since February, so there's, you know, game with nothing on, but as they've been playing for the last few weeks, still something to protect. And I put in my notes, as you said, everyone knows how much I don't like Wickham at the moment. So a point Thierry Small on the left-hand side for Charlton at 14-1 in a game that I guess most games feel like they're kind of shootouts at this point of the season, but that felt like one in League One to me with potentially a high goal expectancy. So, yeah, point on Thierry Small, the name that we've put up over the last few weeks for Charlton at 14-1. Couple of other bits and pieces just before you finish off in League One, John. Reflections on last week. Will Ameson, another goal. He's got a four-goal season, took his time to get going, but last reached that figure in 2018 for Bury, sneaking in at the far post for Exeter against Northampton. Weren't an exact set piece, but still a centre half scoring against Northampton. John Guthrie won at the other end as well. He was one that took his while to get going. I think we were probably mentioning kind of turn of the year, weren't we, that he was underperforming, and three since the start of May, takes his tally to four for the season. Northampton this weekend, Barnsley, I thought your man De Giovanni had another chance, didn't he, last week, and would be of interest against Northampton if it wasn't for what, 12-1 was pretty short for, not long enough for me to get interested in. And last thing I'll mention, Togo Insala came on to shore things up for Burton in that vital win against Reading in midweek. Just when I was scrolling and through and saw Burton up against Fleetwood, he was the name that I just had to double check on. So return Burton obviously need a victory to make sure. And Insala, there's a former club Fleetwood system there, 15-1 in a place would be very interesting. But again, another one for the team news because he hasn't started the last couple. You've got something a bit more definitive, John, in League One towards the...
Still, yeah, there's lots happening this weekend. Yeah. There's lots of angles you've got to keep your eye on. Blackpool need a lot of things to go their way, but they are still involved in the possibles for the playoff. They go to Reading, who have done the job already. One player who's definitely overpriced, but it's with the usual suspects who we don't mention anymore, is Hayden Coulson. More of a left midfielder of late than a left back. There's 20-1 about, which is silly, but not a selection, but if you can get the 20s, that is more than playable. The selection, however, is the man mounted himself, Marvin Ekpeteta, at 14-1. Three goals this season, which is pretty good. Two previous career goals versus Reading. That's enough as I need here, really. James Husband scored last game, but there were no signs that was coming, and has a pretty terrible career record. Our good friend Pennington's been quiet since you managed to nabble him a couple of months ago. Pretty straightforward one. Marvin gets the nod at 14-1 for Blackpool versus Reading.
Excellent stuff. Let's head into League Two then, where keen to... we talked about Riley Harbottle. Yeah, the Feely header. Lots going on. Still keen to oppose Newport. Looked at Bradford Newport very carefully. Kieran Kelly had one poked off the line last week. Bit of blue if you can trust Odds Checker at all, which we've talked about you can't. Not much productivity all season. Probably couldn't back Matthew Platt at single figures there either. So, yeah, keen to get against Newport, but easily passed over in this particular spot. Swindon Morecambe. I know you got some words about current state of Morecambe as well, but I thought... Yeah, Williams Kokolo was the first one I looked out for at Swindon. Left back, we mentioned him a few times off the mark at Barrow early in the month. Good one for the heat map aficionados, but 15 to 2, not quite for me when I think we were on at just 10, 11 to 1 a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, not for me. John, you've got lots of insight to provide in.
Oh, yes, stick with that first. Swindon Morecambe game. Kokolo was the first name I looked at as well, but like you say, short as fives, which is getting a bit silly. Going on Morecambe, I mean, I don't really trust Swindon. They don't know like they got a particularly bright future either, to be honest. But if you look at Morecambe, Jed Brennan this week basically said he didn't want to be there next season. If you consider that 3 months ago he was an academy coach in this division, it doesn't exactly inspire confidence. And with respect to him, I don't think any other league club is going to give him a head coach role. It's like a million. So it's just kind of bizarre, and it shows you what mess they're in. I know they've only got one player under contract for next season as it stands, which isn't massively unusual in League Two, but you normally have at least a few. If I had any belief in Swindon, really, I might perm some silly scores here, but I don't know. Swindon are just not quite as bad, are they? But they're very not the easiest to work out, really. Don't look on the best of terms themselves. So let's go to, where are we going? We got another 400 game man here. The big German comes back into the reckoning. Max Amar for Gillingham. Yes. Thank you, Max.
Been a while.
Probably not the same as Jacobson, because it must be a short price. He gets a contract extension from, done a bit of reading, and it looks like they're going to keep him on because he's been, I think he was there voted the player of the season. So I don't think we're going to get an emotional 95th minute penalty for Max Amar, if that even happens anymore. In the same game, Conor Mahoney was pushed right up as a genuine forward away at Mansfield for Gillingham by a 7-2 against the best team in the history of the world, Doncaster Rovers. It's right, we all saw that coming, didn't we? just can't lose. It's all priced in. So, yeah, there's not really... Can't really pick anything there. Early 5-2 drawbackers for Colchester versus Crewe on good terms, Gav. Probably get arrested when it wins, but you can't have everything. Don't worry about getting... If this was a Serie B game, it would be 4-7 by now, but... And also, you've got... Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, which is like, it's no good to anyone now, but with things like this, if you can get the, just for future reference, if you can get the early price on the draw, you're only ever taking a neutral price, aren't you? You're not taking a bad price. So even if the game is fine, then a draw is always 5-2 anyway. So you can't really do any harm. But yeah, obviously, it's probably not very good for the state of any accounts you've got. And it's all irrelevant now, a bit like the stale price I was talking about earlier. Now we've got one more. I like my end of season records stuff. I mentioned Craig Eastman last season for Sutton, a bit of a Sutton legend, also contract up in the summer. He was injured on the last day last season, but he scored in the previous two last days, if that makes sense. This is his eighth season at Sutton. As I say, contract up in the summer. No idea if he stays. 26 goals over the seasons and a lot more yellow cards and about 10 red cards. Any chance of a sentimental penalty, I think, has gone with Sutton still being right in the relegation fight. And the other issue is the last month he's been a lot more of a bit part player on the bench. So... I don't know, if he started here, which I can't really see happening, so I'm not going to select him, then the top price, 11-1, would have been a selection. But as it stands, then I'll happily leave him alone, I think.
Good shout, though. Yeah. Good shout. Another club stalwart coming to the end of his career. I got one more selection. Another short price. It's only when you look at, when I was looking at kind of Kokkolo price and some of the others available, it's only when you look at that you realise George Thompson for Harrogate, I thought was astonishing price at Salford. Again, if you could pick out a game with high goal expectancy in this division, this again looks like one of those. Both clubs safe, and looking forward to next season. Feels a pretty sparse weekend in League Two, but I thought George Thompson 11-2. 24 shots in April, 4 goals in the last 3. Fresh off a brace at MK Dons, scored in the reverse fixture. As I've said, looks nailed on high goal expectancy. This game finished 3-2 back in September as well. So, I expected again just to see plenty shorter, and there's plenty shorter available in the market. But on a less than enthusiastic weekend, I thought a point on George Thompson at 11-2 was worth adding to the weekend portfolio. John, should we have a little rattle through the selections?
So the Championship, and Matthew Clark at 22-1 for Middlesbrough at Cardiff. And in League One, it's Marvin Ekpeteta at 14-1 for Blackpool versus Reading. And those are my only two. But there's a few to keep an eye on the teams, as you said. Thank you.
Excellent pronunciation there. Mine are a little easier. 6-1 a point Liam Sercombe for Cheltenham. A point at 11-2 for George Thompson for Harrogate. And a point at 14-1 for Thierry Small for Charlton against Wickham. John, I think probably the end of the regular season, we'll only have kind of bits and pieces of the Championship, and we'll probably return for an early look at the playoffs. But we just about kind of like made the line. It's been a tough few months. Some would say a tough old season for the Anytime Notebook, but I think we remain in profit,
nice,
which is no small feat, is it? Been an absolute pleasure. We'll be back at some point during the close season and give our opinions, and no doubt there'll be some good opportunities ahead of the playoff games. Looking forward to the season ending, though, to be honest, having some fresh.
Yeah, you want to have some new names, don't you? By this time, it gets a bit. You're saying the same old names. I've even gone back to Matthew Clark. Let's have a little mention, because we won't be here for the last Championship round. This guy's been in my notes since about 2010. Christian Pedersen has a surprisingly good last day record. I've got no idea why. He went off to Germany for a couple of seasons. He's back with Sheffield Wednesday, barely playing. But they've got loads of defensive injuries. So if he did get a rare start, then keep him in your mind as a complete flyer for the... he could look at this week, but just to fit the narrative, like next weekend, don't be surprised when Kay Pedersen comes up on the Vidi printer.
I think people have tuned in for this episode just for the Christian Pedersen.
Yeah, I think he was playing. Last game of last season, he was playing Bayern Munich, and he was about 66-1. Obviously, he didn't get anywhere near anything, but you never know.
That was it. We were struggling.
So where's he gone?
We just wasn't getting any games.
That's why you listen. We're up to date with all the transfer news.
An excellent edition of the Anytime Notebook. Thank you to all of those that continue to listen. As usual, if you've got loads of angles this week, John does a... I always look forward to John's notes on this week every year, because it's full of little nuggets like contracts coming to an end and reaching game milestone appearances. And probably the division's less full of... charity penalties.
Too professional now, Gav. Too
Gary Pallister take free kicks last game of the season. Too professional. Well, I guess rightly so if you're on, I don't know if you're on. Yeah, sure. If Jamie Reid doesn't,
you'll be delighted if Pierre Gianni blasts it against the bar.
Then I'll be less sympathetic. That will about sum it up. So rightly so, because there's money at stake everywhere you look. Just this week,
there's more angles than
on the Saturday afternoon.
More angles than Alan.
But yeah, it's always interesting.
That's one for you. Thank you.
Oh, topical. Excellent. If you have got an angle, I know we've lots of fans of clubs.
Would have missed loads there. Yeah, that's didn't have time to look at too many. So,
particular angles or things that you know that are happening. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
Have an angles acca just in case. You know the idea.
That warrants it.
An angles acca.
The angles acca. Come at the end. That's it. John, absolute pleasure as always. We'll reconvene soon in the next couple of weeks and decide what our post-season content starts to look like. Thank you very much for listening, though. Hope you found Back to a Few Winners this year and enjoyed the ride, as we always do. We'll do it all again next week. We'll do it all again at some point, but whatever it is.
Thanks, Gav.
This weekend.
Good luck to everyone.
As always, be lucky.